And I'm going to need a moment for the scheduling part because I neglected my phone at home, so I gotta open this up.
Two phones and one set of keys.
Who left their keys back home?
I didn't. I left them in the lock on the door when I went home last night. Some of these people put them inside the office, so I had.
Oh.
So that was the right thing to do. It was, yeah.
Do either of you have anything to add for discussion? Because I have a couple things.
You know, I think I do.
Sherry? So, I guess I would be interested, one from each of you, on at the last meeting, we talked about that Julie, you were going to attend the Interim Ag and Natural Resources Committee on our behalf, and Sherry, you were going to do that Harvard Roundtable. Curious how those things work.
Sure.
If you don't mind.
So the interim committee, I thought, was pretty uneventful. Jack attended with me. Thank you, Jack. I did have to leave right afterwards, but I listened. I was driving up to Minot, and I listened in the car. I wasn't driving. And so I just outlined our siting process. That's pretty much what I focused on and emphasized how we're a clearinghouse of all the information from state government, that the legislature was really smart and efficient in how it designed the process, relying on the expertise that exists in all the agencies and having them review these projects and funnel that information to us. And then we take that and work through a record towards a decision that addresses all the issues that are raised in the hearing process and ultimately determines whether the project meets the requirements of the law, and emphasize that most of the project's goal is to address all those issues because they want to get the permit. And so that's why we approve almost all permits that come to us eventually. And there wasn't a lot of questions. There were some questions from Mike Brandenburg about the mitigation payments, but his mostly come from the standpoint of he, and it's what he said during the legislative session too, that he feels bad for the people who are in the areas where the projects are being developed and are told that they're going to get a turbine, but then for whatever reason, sometimes because of game and fish, the turbines get moved because of, you know, they're in the native prairie or too close to habitat, et cetera, and then they lose the turbines, and he feels like they should be compensated somehow. And so I said that, you know, that's up to the companies. We don't get involved in that, and that a lot of the companies are moving towards compensating all participating landowners in some way, shape, or form. He acknowledged that he knew that was happening, and that was pretty much it for questions for me. Greg Link spoke pretty he had a pretty lengthy discussion. I thought he outlined, you know, the game and fish's responsibility pretty well. Just said, this is our job. I'm doing my job in defending these habitats. That's what we're supposed to do, and that's why we do it. And then Commissioner Goring got up and also talked. He was asked by one of the legislators if he ever has participated in our process, and he said no, he hadn't, because he really hadn't been asked to. He didn't have anybody, you know, saying that they had a big problem with the project, and so that's why they haven't really ever engaged directly. But then he also said that he felt that landowners weren't being recognized in the siting process because they would prefer not to have the towers in their productive land, but have it rather in their pasture land, and that's, you know, kind of where the game and fish issues have arisen. So.
I worry that they're under the perception that a wind developer has the option of eminent domain. If that operator wishes that it were in the pasture instead of in the cropland, but because of environmental issues, they can't put it in the cropland, then if you don't want it,
don't take it.
They can't put it in the pasture because of environmental issues, but you don't want it on the cropland, then don't sign an easement.
I told them that eminent domain is not usable in a wind development project, but whether they heard it or whether they remember that as they move forward, you know, there's a lot to keep track of. But I do agree that it's important for them to us to reemphasize that, you know, I said we don't, you know, these projects don't have eminent domain authority, and we also do not override the local desires. So if there's local permitting contingencies or setbacks, et cetera, we always abide by them, and we always try to have the local permit processes completed before we do have them completed before we reach our decisions.
Because clearly these operators want them in their fields. They would just want them even more if they were in the pasture instead.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that is their option. They can choose not to have it.
Julie, I listened, and you did a great job on going through the siting case, and I heard from a couple of legislators when I happened to be downstairs. They really enjoyed it, so it was very
good.
Informative. One of the points when I listened to Brandenburg's, some of his questions about the landowners not being informed, and then when conversation went on, you know, like one farmer thought they were getting it and then they weren't, there was a change in all this, but not being involved. One of the things that I thought that also could have been pointed out is when we do go into the counties where they're at, and for them to come and testify if they have some concerns too.
Right.
And that's just another point that I thought could have been brought up, because with all the talking amongst them, then they know there's activity going on. And in our process, we notice that opportunity of hearing, and
right.
It's open, and we encourage them to come and express their concerns. That would have been another point to bring home.
Yeah,
but
that's true.
Overall, I thought it was, again, good job, and it was well received as far as that. And in the citing, you know, the number of times you brought up in the statute about the adverse impacts.
Yeah.
And drew that all back to the mitigation. So.
The one thing that's tricky is there's such a gap in time in some of these projects between our process and the ultimate construction of the facility, and things change during that process. So
alternate wind turbines and
the landowners never do, because I don't think the companies are super forthcoming on the front end that there's a lot of things that could change between now and then. We don't even have our interconnection agreement yet. And so this may or may not happen in the next 5 years. But they see we could have 3 turbines on our land, and this is how much money we get.
Yep.
That's what they see in here. So, yeah, there's a lot of that can go wrong and does.
And you did that Harvard roundtable?
No, I was left. Your guys had scheduling conflict, and so did I. So I did not have an opportunity to attend that.
Okay. So not seeing anything else, we have our scheduling matter, which is an informal hearing with Otter Tail Power on the Integrated Resource Plan biennial filing.
See, before we get to that, Randy, I don't see on here our, maybe I'm missing it, interim legislative committee meeting.
Oh, on the 24th?
Oh, it's listed as admin. Oh, we should add that to the calendar, I think. What, even just put that we're having it. Do we have to have an agenda to not notice something?
No.
Yeah. Maybe just put the, because what is that, 1:30? 1 o'clock?
I have a hold on mine from 1.
Yeah, it should be on our calendars. It's just not on our announcements. on that public calendar. But I think that that's kind of a noteworthy thing. So, yeah, throw it out there so people like Dave Thompson and stuff start seeing that when they look ahead on our calendar. And then, even though the agenda isn't there, maybe we can say update on U.S. nuclear industry or something like that so that they get a sense for what that topic is going to be.
Okay. And I just got, you know, I got distracted because I missed Joey in the room with all the reclamation and AML and IT staff. And luckily you caught that. But I was just asking whether anyone was online. I hope there were none online. Okay.
Say one other quick question on the interim committee meeting. So I'm not sure exactly how we're going to be seated there.
My Are we just around the table, the Steve? My understanding on the last conversation that I had with legislative counsel is they were going to put you all kind of at the same table.
Okay. In the hearing room with them. Yep.
Is it informational, or are they having presentation on?
There's going to be presentation from two gentlemen on what's going on in the industry.
In nuclear.
And then there's going to be some questions after. The only other information I got back was there was a desire to have a short update on where things in North Dakota region stood. So that's somebody from the three of you should probably have any conversation if you haven't already with
Ledge Council. Okay. So this is the guy. Oh, good. Okay. This is the guy I got an update from him a couple months ago and said I thought it was really worthwhile that you guys should hear it too. And then we talked about having one here, and then the interim committee, you know, they're doing a study on this. So mm-hmm. then we all agreed that it would be good to do it all together with them. So fortunately, this gentleman is coming here. I was afraid he would do it online, but he's attending in person. And so I think it'll be a useful starting point for their study.
Who is this gentleman? What is he?
Jeff Rose, and I can get you the details, but I don't have it all memorized. He's an expert on the nuclear industry in the U.S. He's spent most of his career in it. And he knows the status of, like, all the projects that are occurring in the U.S. and on the globe in these new kind of nuclear and the various technologies, and he can talk about, here's the technologies that are being used. Here's when they were discovered. Here's how long they've been in existence, you know, and here's who's developing them and permitting and building projects today with this.
So now you mentioned nuclear, it's coming back to me, but this goes back to our discussion a couple of days ago about the shark closest to the bullet.
Alligator.
I just haven't looked out at this very much, and I can't even. So this is specifically
Thank
about
you
nuclear.
So much.
Yes.
Okay.
What was
for their study.
This is specifically about nuclear.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. So there's his title. Mr. Jeff Merrifield, former commissioner of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. And I'll be prepared to introduce him, unless you want to next year.
Let's figure that out later. Are we doing anything with the natural gas accessibility in small communities? Just talked about Kay's.
I haven't been contacted to provide any info. Where is this that you're seeing?
The 905, the first... The morning item for them. Oh, natural gas. natural gas accessibility.
It sounds like Justin Kringstad is.
Well, maybe they know.
It'll be interesting to listen to as far as some updates there and.
Legislative council must not realize we regulate natural gas in communities.
Maybe you can go at 11:20 comments by interested persons.
There we go.
We're interested. I have a couple comments.
Well, maybe we should send Victor down for that and just point out the number of communities we've added in.
Yeah.
The last few years and named them off, and that we're working on a project with Claremore.
Right.
Yeah. I think a good example is what happened up in Portal. Just all the timeliness and how efficient that was, and the mayor was just extraordinary.
Yeah. Well, and there's been a bunch of them.
Would you want to do that?
Yes, I can do that.
Go back to Nolmer, or to the one, the very first one that started all this, which was the Winter. Bobcat Winter. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Then to our actual scheduling item.
I have an item for discussion. So on your regular agenda, item JF2, we had the incorrect paperwork that was before you that you ended up approving. You approved a notice of opportunity for hearing, and what we intended for you to see and approve was an order. Julie had received that earlier on, but the other two of you would not have had an opportunity to see that, so we're not going to ask you to approve an order that you haven't seen. We'll just put it on the next agenda at this point. But we do need to back out that notice.
You know, when I read that, I was like, my, how am I getting these so confused? I swear we've already done this one.
But there were a lot of them from Otter Tail, so I was lulled into submission as well. So,
so do we need to do an action to so we don't send out a new notice?
We should probably do a motion to rescind.
To rescind that motion on JF2? Or is it the 2 or 3?
JF2.
Oh, gosh. We're talking the Ashtabula Wind.
Ashtabula Wind, correct.
Yep.
Should we do that right now?
Sure. So it'd be a motion to rescind the previously approved motion issuing a notice of opportunity in case number PU23252, Otter Tail Power Company, Ashtabula 1 Wind Upgrade Project, Barnes County, citing application.
Can you make that motion?
Well, you can use that motion as your own if you'd like.
Just okay, to the front, I rescind.
I rescind the previously approved motion to approve the notice of filing and a notice of opportunity for hearing in Otter Tail Power Company, Ashtabula 1 Wind Upgrade Project, Barnes County, case number PU-23-252.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
We have enough information on the record to say why we're rescinding it.
We had issued this notice of opportunity for hearing much earlier in the case. As I mentioned, the intention was to put an order before you. In the meeting, the agenda link, the incorrect paperwork was put out there. So
okay.
What you saw was a notice instead of the order.
Yep. Thank you for the update, Victor.
Certainly.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I don't know how many strikes I've taken at this, but I'm going to try one more time. Are we ready to go into scheduling Otter Tail's IRP?
I'm ready, Commissioner.
Is there a proposed date?
December 13th. December 13th. We have an informal slot available. I know that there's the Paymentus meeting scheduled that day, but I don't think that's for the commissioners. So that's available 2 hours be preferred.
So using the informal on December 13th at 1:30.
Correct.
I am fine with that.
I am.
Seems good. Is that, what case is that again?
That's Otter Tail Power's Integrated Resource Plan.
This is the
is
one.
Is an afternoon informal long enough?
So this isn't the full Integrated Resource Plan hearing. They've already made the filing. They've made supplemental filings. They do have some concerns regarding multi-jurisdictional issues. And so they requested an informal conference to sit down with the commission and staff to discuss some of these issues and just generally inform the commission and with the understanding that a formal decision will not likely come out of the informal hearing, but to provide some guidance and provide some input to the commission. So I think of it as a primer to the integrated resource plan actual hearing.
And is there, do we have to notice that? Is there a reason that we're waiting till December to do that if we have all the info now? Or don't we have all the info? That's 2 months from now.
You know, right now we are working on the report, and I think I had originally given a date of November 1st. That we could still obtain, we could still reach November 1st. However, we do have an existing data request out there that might push it back, maybe the report itself back maybe 2 weeks. But as of right now, the due date on that report is November 1st, and that's what we're aiming for.
Right. Okay. So, and this report is necessary to have this initial conversation with them of some of their these issues? Feels like that's more process.
Yeah, I don't think it's absolutely necessary. I think that the case is still going to proceed as if this informal is not happening.
Okay.
But it's largely due to, as I know, what I stated before, that they are also doing integrated resource planning in Minnesota. And so as they're having discussions over there, they also want to have a discussion with us as well.
Yeah, it sounds like they have different schedules and different procedures, and they probably want to get an idea from the commission, perhaps. Do I have that right, about what kind of procedure they want to follow and what kind of jurisdictional issues they might be dealing with? Is that a fair statement?
From the
perhaps,
discussions that I had, yeah. It's partially procedure, but also just to generally inform the commission of the ongoings.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So do they anticipate the two-hour presentation? And I'm just saying this for if something else comes up, not to put something else on with this informal, because this is the first IRP that we're kind of working through. So I would just say if they need it, let's use the time and not schedule something else for that.
I think I discussed whether an hour would be enough, and okay. we agreed that probably would not be enough. But a couple hours likely will be enough. But acknowledging that this is not going to be the full hearing on
correct.
Everything. It's going to be a little more limited and more of a general view.
Mm-hmm. The only other time I would see would be that week before Thanksgiving, and I think that's kind of blocked off. So as I look at the schedule, I'm guessing the 15th was the first one you were able to get. All the other informals are booked.
That's correct.
But if
the commission is available for an earlier date, they said they would make themselves available for that as well.
I mean, we could try to find a time that isn't an informal. Do you see any value in getting this done sooner? Is it going to change the processing of the case in any way?
For internally, I don't believe that it's going to impact us.
Okay.
I know they have a preference. I'm sure they would like to have it sooner than later, but I know they were definitely hoping to have it by the end of the year.
Okay.
And they plan on being here in person, right?
I haven't had the discussion with them, but I think they would make themselves available. That's what the commission would prefer.
I mean, that first week in November, there might be some time if we wanted to look at that.
I'm out. amount that first week in November.
Okay.
And then the next week isn't very good.
Next week is NARUC. Then the week after that is Thanksgiving. The 20th or 21st?
I'm open. 20th and 21st.
So that would be an option. I would probably go for the... Is the 22nd a third Thanksgiving?
Yes, November 23rd, yep.
So the... I would look at the 20th if you're going to pick one of those dates. I don't know how you are that big.
I could do Monday afternoon, but not morning.
Yeah.
And when I say afternoon, meaning more like, say, 1:30. I have a meeting that goes till 12:30, if it was long.
Sure. Yeah. So 1:30 to 3:30 or something.
Mm. Yeah, I'll double check with the company to make sure. And
they can pick their date.
Sure, if it doesn't work on that.
If not, though, I think it sounds like
we've got the
we're
other
okay
one.
With that 13th.
Sure. Sure.
Okay.
Thank you.
Anything else for the painful process of scheduling?
It was only one.
It still took quite a while. A good discussion, though, and it's nice if we can do things more quickly.
You know, just looking ahead, you had mentioned this. I think Victor and I had talked about this, too, the need next year to schedule more informals in the fall. It might not be a bad idea, just based on my schedule and travel, to look for more informal dates earlier, too. Just so that we have them. It might ease up everybody's scheduling a little bit. So when we start looking at that schedule, which I suppose is going to be before too long.
Yeah. I strongly support that idea.
I'll look at my schedule and let you know. No. Whatever works that we can get things. Yep.
I mean, it's not that they can't be changed, but if we have the time, we tend to gravitate to it.
It makes scheduling far less painful as well. If we have pre-scheduled informal dates, then we can just, staff can kind of work amongst ourselves instead of coming to these meetings with them. So
that's worked pretty well for us.
It makes scheduling these things a lot easier. Try scheduling the next series of hearings on a big citing case when we've got every day laid out for meetings all over the place and informal blocks.
True.
If they're used, but those hearings are pretty far in advance usually, so we could not book the
farther in advance than our informals usually are, and so if we're going to use them, then they're gone. We saved them for nothing.
No, we saved them for the hearing, then. And we could just use those, convert those to the hearings.
I don't know who we're saving them from.
Well,
I mean, if we're saving them for informals, but then we're using them for the other things we do, what are we saving them
I think
them
we're
from?
Saving them for meetings, for time that we need to meet, whether it's informals or other stuff. Sometimes it's just meetings. Sometimes we use them for personnel meetings or, other things. It's just
cybersecurity updates.
Yeah, all that stuff. It's just time that we've blocked off to be able to get together and do our business. Yeah. I don't know. I think they're handy, but
I find them invaluable having those blocks there.
Mm-hmm.
And having a few more would not be a bad idea at all because, yes, it makes it a lot easier for staff to figure out how to get things scheduled and get them in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm
okay, with that, we are adjourned.